We'll return in a moment to our theme this week about keeping the Olympics safe, including having a look at how computers can be used to model crowd movements so we can design safe venues. We'll also be asking whether an ice pack really does soothe an injury. But first, let's take a look at what's been making scientific headlines this week. And Louise, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got some exciting news for brain reading. Following serious accidents or huge strokes, some people develop a condition that's known as locked-in syndrome, where they're fully conscious and aware of their surroundings and they can hear what's going on around them, but they're unable to speak or even move. Now, a few of these people will still be able to move a muscle or two in their face, which is how the author of The Diving Bell and the Butterfly wrote his memoir with blinking. But there are a lot who have absolutely no voluntary movement at all, and so no way of communicating with the people around them. Now, for some years, scientists have been working on brain-computer interfaces to overcome this problem, and the aim has mostly been to try and decode brain activity to allow their thoughts to become speech. In the past, we've used electroencephalography, or EEG, where we stick electrodes to the scalp of the patients and record the electrical activity in the brain underneath. But the problem is that those don't work so well in all patients with locked-in syndrome, and usually there's a really long training period before they work properly, so you have to sort of get the device to work for the individual. But now, some scientists in the Netherlands have run a proof-of-concept study using functional magnetic resonance imaging, which allowed volunteers to have a two-way conversation with the experimenters, here's the important bit, within a single session in real time. The only training that was needed was a 12.5-minute initial scan, just to identify which brain areas are active during specific mental tasks. And the way this worked is that volunteers were shown a screen in the scanner with a table on it, which gave each letter of the alphabet one of three mental tasks: motor imagery, mental calculation, or inner speech. And these light up different areas of the brain. By including a delay before that mental task and varying the length of the time for which the volunteer did that thing, every letter in the alphabet could be coded. So, for example, for the letter E, you would wait 10 seconds, then imagine playing tennis for 30 seconds, and then stop. And the computer looks at the readout, looks at which areas are active, and tries to work out which letter the volunteer is trying to encode. And 82% of the time, the first choice that the computer made was the correct letter, but it gives you a choice of three. And the letter that the volunteer had chosen was always in that top three, most likely. And that's what meant that the experimenters could have a proper conversation with the volunteer in the scanner without that volunteer having to move a single muscle. Now, this hasn't been tried in patients yet. It's just a proof of concept study, and the training could take rather longer in patients who can't control where they're looking, so they necessarily can't see the whole of the screen at once. But it is a non-invasive technique. It could work in people in complete paralysis, and a single session could prove that a patient was still fully conscious even though they were paralysed.
Because it would be impossible to tell otherwise in some of these people. And we had Adrian Newland from Cambridge on this programme about a year ago showing that, and he published this in the New England Journal of Medicine, he took patients who were dubbed brain dead, persistent vegetative state, put them in the brain scanner and said, think about taking a wander around your house or think about playing tennis. And these people were responding meaningfully, and he was actually able to have a conversation using a sort of gross task like that with these individuals, showing that your technique that you're highlighting could be used to unlock a sort of a means of communication with these people.
It was some horrifying figure, like 11 out of 15 of these brain dead people actually weren't brain dead at all and were just stuck and couldn't communicate in any way. So this is really important.
Sure. Where was that published?
That was in Current Biology this week.
Thank you, Louise.